This is Kate Moorhead Carroll in the podcast Find It. At the Last Supper, Jesus was trying to tell the disciples that he was leaving. He said to them, "I have so many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. You cannot bear them now." I've always thought that if we could speak directly to the eternal God, the creator of the universe, that our brains would just explode. God had to titrate the divine self into the form of the incarnation because we couldn't behold the entirety of the Almighty. And then Jesus was very clear just before he died that he had to leave. That he had to leave because the third one was coming. This third one goes by many names in the New Testament. In the Gospel of John, Jesus calls it the Spirit of Truth, the Paraclete, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. Interestingly, the word Spirit is different genders in different languages. In the ancient Greek of the New Testament, pneuma is neuter. Ruach in the Hebrew is feminine, and spiritus in the Latin is masculine. Linguistically, I think God is trying to tell us that this third one is beyond gender, as is the Almighty, of course. It is only the created order that has to worry about gender. Jesus was trying to tell us that this presence, this breath of God would come to us. And he uses many metaphors. One of them is fire. In the darkness, just as the sun is rising at the great vigil of Easter, we kindle a fire. I don't know if you've ever kindled a fire, but you sort of have to bang rocks and sticks together in the hopes that perhaps a spark will explode, will ignite, we call it. And that spark produces light from nothing. It just appears. A small explosion, a burst of miracle, and the fire is lit. This candle, the Paschal candle, which is lit from that kindled fire, is a big candle that we use at baptisms, that we light all during the Easter season, and that we use at funerals when we bring in the body of someone who's died. It is a symbol of eternal life, the presence of God that never leaves us, that takes us home. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when the disciples were all gathered in one room. I like to think that they had what I would call a moment of simplicity. You see, Jesus had already ascended, and they weren't sure what to do next. In my life, I've always had the deepest experiences of the Holy Spirit in moments when I have been not full of myself, which of course are rare moments. Most moments I am full of myself and I'm thinking about the things I did wrong in the past or the things that I need to do in the future or whether someone likes me or whether I look good enough, et cetera, et cetera. But it's on those rare occasions when I put myself aside, when I simply sit in the presence of God, that the Holy Spirit finds an opening and comes to me. I believe the disciples had such a moment. They were sitting in that upper room, and they could have made an agenda. They could have planned what they were to do next, but I think they were just sitting there waiting without all the answers. And that was when it happened. There was a rush, like the sound of a violent wind. The word spirit also means wind and breath in the ancient Greek and the ancient Hebrew. The room filled with light. and they described that it was as if there were tongues of fire above the heads of everyone. And in this encounter, in this explosion, in this otherworldly event, this cosmic event, which we've never been able to tame for the Hallmark card industry like we do at Christmas and Easter, this otherworldly event changed them forever. Peter went from being this kind of bumbling idiot who couldn't seem to say the right thing to this prolific, eloquent speaker who would write and preach these amazing sermons that would change the hearts of so many. The disciples were given the gift of communication, and they went out and they spoke in many languages, almost like the opposite of the Tower of Babel, when God sent us all off in different directions with different languages. They're all able to come together. Unity is a product of the Holy Spirit. They go out and they inspire and they tell about Jesus. And everything is changed. Some people call this day the age of the Holy Spirit. There is no other thing that could possibly help us but this same Spirit of God. We certainly are not going to be able to fix our world by ourselves. We need the perspective of the Almighty to come down and show us what to do. And with the advent of technology and the internet, we realize now how little we understand. We're beginning to awaken to our own limits. And hopefully, like the disciples, we can wait in that unknowing, in that question, wait for the guidance of the third one. Just last week, I had to fly to New York for a conference. Long ago, I learned that I don't put my collar on when I travel, because when I do, the person next to me tends to want to confess their sins or tell me about how they really don't believe in God or some other extraordinarily long and profound conversation when what I really want to do is take a nap or read a dumb magazine. So I didn't have my collar on, and we were on a small plane. I was seated next to one young woman. We took off, and I was doing my own thing, you know, reading. I said my prayers, but I still wasn't really open to anything. But as we began to descend, I had a moment of simplicity where I wasn't quite so full of myself, and I felt this nudge. It wasn't a voice. It was just an impulse. You need to talk to the woman next to you. So I turned to her, and very out of character, I said, "So tell me about yourself." She turned and said, "Oh, Kate, I know who you are, but I didn't want to bother you. I know how busy you are." And she decided that she needed to talk, and it was a beautiful and profound conversation, which I would have entirely missed were it not for the nudge of the third one. Years ago, when the pandemic hit, I was scared, as we all were. But in a moment of simplicity, I heard the simple voice saying, "Go to your prayer desk." I started doing these tiny little devotions with my iPhone, 4 to 6 minutes. I showed a statue of Jesus I had and an icon on my prayer desk, and we talked about the scripture for the day. It was rudimentary at best. And I thought it would be just a few weeks, so I said, "It's day 4 of the pandemic. It's day 12 of the pandemic." It's been 4 years, and I'm still doing those daily devotions, and they mean so much to me. And I recalled that when I was young, I had prayed to God saying, "Help me have a disciplined prayer life." And the third one answered with that impulse to go to my prayer desk, which has resulted in these daily video devotions on YouTube. I never could have planned such a thing. I didn't understand what I was doing. But somehow in that moment of clarity, I was able to follow the one who knows so much more than we do, the one who sees beyond time. I want to follow that one. A couple of years ago, I spoke with a woman who had been widowed. I asked her what she loved the most about her husband. They were married for almost 60 years. She said every Tuesday night they would go ballroom dancing. At first, he was the leader and I followed because that's what we did back then. The man was the leader, the woman followed, and I learned to follow him. But over the years, the two of us began to let the music lead us. And it was a way of loving one another and celebrating life. I felt more close to him dancing than at any other time in our marriage. You could say that in the mystery of the Holy Trinity, that God brought Jesus to us so we could dance with Jesus, so we could have a man that we could conceive of and hold on to. But the third one is the music. You see, that God has been singing to you. God sang the whole created world into being. And God is singing to you all the time with the most beautiful music. God is asking you to dance to sad sounds and joyful sounds and everything in between. To follow Jesus, but to dance with the Holy Spirit. If you can, picture that Jesus is walking towards you, holding out his hand, and he's asking you, "Will you dance with me?" And as you stand to take his hand, you hear the music. So beautiful. And if you let it in, it will guide you with true freedom, but also like an embrace. And you will find you know how to dance. Amen.
Thank you for joining me in the podcast, Find It. Remember that if you keep searching for the divine presence, you will find it. I want to invite you, if you're interested in hearing more of these podcasts, to subscribe. Just hit the subscribe button and you will be informed of new episodes. And before we part ways, I pray that God will bless you and hold you, give you peace. Until we meet again.